Okay, so we're going to read till the end of Daniel now, but we'll spend 2 weeks probably on the parak. So, the last 13 psukim of Daniel.
Wow, you're already up to the end?
Okay. Yes, we're already up to the end. It's been a few months. So if you remember, we already talked about this extremely detailed prediction of, and very accurate prediction of the Greek-Persian wars, and then the subdivisions of the Greeks, and the battles with the Egyptians, and the Ptolemies, all the different Ptolemies, 1, 2, 3, however many they are, right? All, you know, I remember once in college ball, when I was in Rambam, one of the questions was, name 5 out of the 8 or something czars in the 19th century, and it's literally, it was either 5 Alexes and 3 Nikolai, or the other way around, like whatever, yes, plural of Nicholas, right, but that was, that's how you feel, like Ptolemy the first, second, and like, that's why we can't figure out how many kings there are in Persia, because it's Ahasuerus the first and second and third, and Dariavish the first and Koresh the first and second, and, in English, Artaxerxes the second, which tongue twisters to begin with. But after that whole thing, that whole nightmare, so what happens? Ba'ed ahi, Ya'amod Michael Asar HaGadol Ha'omein Al B'nei Amecha, Vaita eight sara, asher lo nihyata migoy ad ha'eit ha'hi. Uva eit ha'hi, yimalei ramcha kol nimtza katuv ba'sefer. At that time, Michael, and this is where we learn that in Tanakh, Michael is the malach of Yisrael. Whatever that means, it is Michael.
Okay.
So Michael is the sar ha'gadol, who stands over the Jews, will appear. And there will be a time of trouble at that point, the like of which has never been seen since the nation came into being.
Wow.
And at that point, you will be rescued, all who are found inscribed in the book.
He's talking about a family that was saved.
Yes. Yes, I know exactly what he's talking about. Let's read the psukim first, and then we'll try to figure it out, okay? But let's read the 13 psukim first. V'rabim mishenei admat afar yakitzu eilu l'chei olam ve'eilu l'charafot l'dir'on olam. And many of those who sleep in dust will awake, some to eternal life, and other to reproaches and to everlasting abhorrence, as they translate it in the JPS. Which means, and this is why, and again, this is what we'll focus on next week, but when the Gemara says, Where is the raya in the Torah for Tchiyas HaMeisim? It gives you all types of proofs from the psukim that are less than obvious, like Az Yashir Moshe. Oh, you see, Moshe will sing in the future and things like that. But the final and most compelling is Amar Rava Minayin Letchiyat HaMeitim. So Rava says, "Shenemar yichiru uvein va'al yamut, yichiru uvein ba'olam hazeh va'al yamut lo'olam haba." And Ravina says, "What are you talking about?" Ravina, Amar mehacha, v'rabim mishinei atmat afar yakitzu. The people who are dead will wake up. Eilu l'chayolam, and these will live forever. Ve'eilu l'chayolam.
Because Ravina was the only one who believed that it was canon.
Rav Ashi says, you're wrong. It is, jump down for a second, it is the end of Daniel, right? Which is, Vata lech leketz, you go to the end, v'tanuach, rest, v'tamod, and then you will get up again. Right, the Goralchalakeitzi. I mean, so you have two dayot who say, yes, there are two psukim that explicitly say that the dead will wake up. They are Daniel Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Bet and Daniel Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Yud Gimel. It waited for Daniel to be really, really in your face. Everything else, no. But this is where it comes from. Right? This is Chazal's most. And that, so we'll talk about that separately next week, okay? And then we'll finish. That will be the end of Daniel. This is the but pasuk bet is clearly the best pasuk, right? That's clearly the most straightforward. That there will be those sleeping in dust, of which who will awake forever. Right? I don't know how much more of an explicit... That's not what Yishenem Admar Afar means in Tanakh. People sleep in dust. That is, in Tanakh.
That's dead, for sure.
That's dead. That's dead. Those who are sleeping in dust will wake up for all of eternity and other for eternal damnation. Like, right. You cannot get a more, you know, that is like, that's what you wanted. You wanted that to be in Chumash. You know, you really wanted that pasuk to be like after the Aseret HaDibrot. You really did, right? What?
Rabbi, is Michael the Mala?
Once you get Midrash, once you have this pasuk, this is the basis for all the Midrashim, that Michael, that every time you have a Malach fighting on behalf of the Jews, it's this guy.
Right.
You know, it's because we waited all of Tanakh to suddenly discover that we have a particular Malach, and he has a name, and his name is Michael.
Well, what's technically the last book, besides is Daniel the last book?
Chronologically?
No, I guess in terms of, like, order of Tanakh.
Well, not Derei Yamin. Tanakh, the Gemara has a different order.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
The Gemara's order is not the one that we have in ours, right? I'll read it to you. I'll read you the whole order. This way you have it. Right? The Gemara's order is as follows. It's Bava Basra, Yodalad Amud Beis, Tanu Rabbanan, Sidran Shel Nevi'im. This is the order. Yoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Melachim, Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, Yishaya, Shneim Asar. Okay? ... Sidran Shel Ktuvim. Root. Why is root first? Yeah, it's Tam Shoftim. Sefer Tehillim. Iov, Mishle, Kohelet. Machloka. Then it goes into the Gemara of when did that happen? Kohelet. It's 10 dead, or like a million dead in the Gemara. Kohelet, Shira Shirim, the keynote. Daniel, Megillat Esther, Ezra, Direan Yamim. Right? So some of that is the same that we have, and some of it is not. The end is, right? But, actually, no, because Esther we just grouped together with the Megillot. But the Gemara is doing it chronologically, which is Daniel, Megillot, Esther, Ezra are, right, the end of Galut and Shivat Zion. And Divrei Yamim is a record, but it is written in the time of Shivat Zion.
I thought it was... I thought the Gemara said that it was
during
that's what I'm saying.
That's when they come back. Shivat Zion.
Oh, okay.
The time of coming back to Zion.
The same root for capture.
No. Shivat Zion, the return to Zion.
What would the word for capture of Zion?
Why do you think that's a town?
The town came first, though.
You know? A lot of these are from Tanakh. You know? Shockingly, we do that.
What would capture of Zion?
The Shiviat Zion, I guess?
Yeah,
the
Shiviat. Really,
but Shiviat Zion is the return of Zion. Okay. Fine, so that's Pasuk Aleph and Bet. And again, we'll come back to the details of Tchiyas HaMesim, because we understand them very clearly, obviously.
Yes.
I know Tchiyas HaMesim. I fully understand everything about Tchiyas HaMesim. I am completely...
What else do you need?
Well, that's in the realms. Yeah, that's why he didn't explain it.
Yes, I...
It's so simple.
It is. It's so simple. It's obviously so simple. I know exactly what's going on. Yeah. Either you go to, you live or you go to... eternal damnation, whatever that looks like. Good. So Pasuk Gimel, Vamazkilim Yaziru Kizoar Harakia, Umatzdikei Arabim Kakochavim Leolam Vaed, and the knowledgeable will be radiant like the bright expanse of sky, and those who lead the many to righteousness will be like the stars forever and ever. Yes, this is all things that at first glance I understand this completely. And then he gives Daniel the instruction, which, if you always wondered why you didn't understand Daniel, well, now you've learned almost all of Daniel, so you know why you don't understand Daniel. But when Malach tells him, "Vata Daniel, stoma dvarim, vachatoma sefer ad eight kates, yishotetu rabim v'tir behadad. Keep the word secret, seal the book until the time of the end, and many will range far and wide, and knowledge will increase."
Meaning don't expound on
it. Yes, exactly.
On the internet is...
Yeah, video, exactly. Vera'iti ani Daniel. And then I, Daniel, looked. V'hine shnayim acherim omdim. There were two others standing. Omdim echad heina l'svat ha'yar, v'echad heina l'svat ha'yar. One was on one side of the riverbank and the other on the other side.
Like Paro's dream.
Vayomer la'ish levush abadim. So I said to the person who was wearing linen, Asher mimal me'or, who was above the waters, ad matei ketz haplaot. How long until the end of these
things?
Wondrous things, awful things, things. Va'eshma'er ha'ish levush abadim asher mimal me'or va'yar mimino usmono al hashamayim va'yishava b'chei olam. He raises his hands, this malach, raises his hands to heaven and swears to God a time, and a half a time.
We have this already.
Yes, right? We had this, right? Many, right? Again, we get this. Time, and half a time, it will come to an end and everything shall be fulfilled. And Daniel said, "Vani shamati velo avin." V'amra Adoni machrid ela. So I said to him, "Huh? What was that?" And he says, "Yes, exactly." Vayomer lech Daniel, kistubim b'chatumim darim adid kates. Go away, for the words are secret and sealed to the time of till the end of time. Many will be purified and purged and refined. Yes, exactly. The wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but the knowledgeable will understand. From the time of the regular offering is abolished, an appalling abomination set up, it will be 2,290 days. We've talked about a lot of these. Ashrei ha-mechakeh. And then you get this like weird tefillah. Ashrei ha-mechakeh v'yagia le'amim 1,335. Happy is the one who waits and reaches 1,335. But you will rest and arise to your destiny at the end of days. End of book. That's how Daniel ends. In again, our beautiful, clear, completely not cryptic.
Why can't we end Tanakh with this? That would be so much.
It would be cool.
It would be. It's like it's a, you know, it's, yeah, it's a mic drop at the end, right? It's the Malach is just like, you know, says some ridiculously convoluted things, and everyone's like, what are you saying? Yes, that's the point. Signing out, right? Done, right? Like, signing out till the end of time. Like,
it's pretty intense.
It's a very intense end to a book. It's just like, Daniel is one of these, you know, it's one of these books you don't really believe is in Tanakh until you've read it.
Yeah.
Just like I told you with the Goliath thing with the sword. Like, you don't really believe that there's a moment in which David goes to the house of the holy... Mazel Tov. And he gets a mythic sword.
Right?
That actually happens in Tanakh.
David what?
Goes to the house of the holy ones and gets a mythic sword. It actually happens.
Well, it's
he goes to Novi Arcanim, says, I have a sword, and they say, we only have one sword. The sword with which you smote Goliath. And gives it to him.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's like a total Lord of the Ring. That moment is what I think of when Elrond pulls out the sword. Right? The...
Right, the ghosts.
And when he pulls Andruil out of his out of his thing, right, and it shines, be the king you were born to be,
right?
Take the untrodden path, right? That is when Novi Arcanim gives Goliath his sword to David, which he, you know, like, that's what that moment is. It's, yeah, that's what I think of. So Daniel ends sort of that way, where you're like, really? There's actually a book in Tanakh that ends this way? So yes. Good, so what's going on? What just happened at the end?
Yeah, that sounds like Apocrypha.
Oh, they love Daniel.
Yeah.
Do you know how much Apocrypha are written on Daniel?
So much.
Oh, yeah. I, how many? Let me see. Look it up.
Oh, Bell and the Dragon. What's his name?
Yes, there's one about a dragon. There's, yeah. I don't even. That's how crazy this book is. That there's actually a book about Daniel and the dragon.
And the dragon,
I guess a lot of his visions sound like dragons.
What's her name? The woman who he defends in court.
One second. Here they are.
Judith?
There are three. There are three. The Prayer of Azariah and the Song of the Three Holy Children, which is from the fiery, which is during the fiery furnace episode, right, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they are rescued by an angel and they sing a song of worship. Susanna and the Elders, which is at the beginning, which is in the Vulgate. And then Bel and the Dragon, which is after this. It's after we finish with this mic drop moment in the Vulgate. There's a one more chapter in which Daniel's, I will read you Wikipedia summary. Daniel's detective work reveals that a brass idol believed to be miraculously consumed sacrifice is in fact a front for a corrupt priesthood which is stealing the offerings, right? And somehow there's
like a bad,
yes, and somehow there's a dragon in this story. There's a literal dragon.
It's the first detective story in history.
Right.
And two, it seems like, doesn't it? It's Christian,
like,
so it seems like it's, yes, a, it's like an attack on like the Jewish, like on the base of Mythos. Like,
sounds like Christian Scooby-Doo to me.
It is.
The first detective.
Yeah, so I'm looking it up now, but literally, if you thought this book couldn't get more like mythic, in this there is an eight pasuk unit about the dragon, which the Babylonians revered. But it's not actually a god, it's an animal, and Daniel slays it by baking pitch, fat, and hairs to make cakes, matzahs in it, that cause the dragon to burst upon consumption. Or in other variants, they give him straw, but he hides nails in it, or skins of camels filled with hot coals. Or in some versions, it is Alexander the Great who overcomes it by feeding it poison and tar. So, if you think that the book ends,
like,
right? If you think, there's a reason that Daniel was the book that got that apocryphal story attached to it in the Vulgate. You don't get that book after like Rus, where the most exciting thing that happens is people eat wheat. Like, that's not where you get a dragon, right? But a dragon Daniel sort of makes sense, right? You're sort of like, oh, there was a dragon Daniel. Yeah, that could totally have happened. So
you're telling me that the Yichud scene was not exciting in Rus?
Yeah, exactly. You're right. The Yichud scene. Yes, exactly. Okay, fine. That's the most exciting scene.
What is more possible?
Tanakh
talks about dragons.
Okay.
Tanakh also talks about Yichud.
Does he talk about dragons?
Okay.
Perhaps.
Okay, good.
Like this.
So.
No, mentions
okay, so let's see, guys. Okay, so let's just see what things we get out of these psukim. So there are a few things, there are a few themes that come out of these psukim, whatever exactly they mean, which who knows. One theme is that there is an eternal struggle within the Jewish people, between those who are knowledgeable and wise and keep the brit and those who don't. That has been a theme. Throughout, in the earlier Prakim, that the battles of the Greeks and the Persians are not just us against them, but are also the Jews who align on the different sides. Right, this notion that there are internal battles, and that is entrenched in the future of the Jewish people, that is central to this, right? That forever there will be those who understand and those who don't. Those who have Tchias HaMeisim and those who will burn in eternal damnation or whatever's going on there. Right? That is the theme that's clear here. Okay? Another point of this perek, therefore, is the very firm belief that Tanakh is making very clear that Yesh Din V'Yesh Dayan, right? This is predicted. God cares, and God will punish those who do the wrong thing and reward those who do the right thing. Meaning the fact that this is predicted, both what will happen with its consequences, right, is a statement that which people think is just political machinations and doesn't really matter, No, Hashem is involved in history. Hashem knows this is going to happen. Hashem cares about it. And these are the consequences outlined, right? Daniel sets the record very, 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 very straight. Now, you get... Now Daniel becomes a book during which, as we've talked about all the way to the beginning, inspires the Jews in Galut who want to live Al Kiddush Hashem to also die Al Kiddush Hashem, right? Because they end up identifying with the Daniels and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azarias of the book. Because once Daniel sets, this is not like a, not just a drash, right? You remember we talked away at the beginning how a lot of the Midrashim are read Daniel into the into Esther, and there's all. But part of it is Daniel is mitbakesh. Daniel is telling you that the journey that he had is going to continue happening, and that there will be the people who align on Daniel's side. I mean, what does the Malach say to him? You will die, and you will come back, and you will be okay. But the clear implication is there'll be people like you who are going through this. Like, he is an avtipus. He is the person who closes the book for the future. Like, he is that last representative of a certain model in Galut, which is going to be true throughout time till the end of days. Like, it's very much, Daniel is asking for it to be a drasha, for people to live according to it. And we know that this is true. If you remember, right, Midan goes through this, but remember when we learned Sefer Maccabim, which is the period that Daniel spends most of his time talking about, the Greek period. That's literally what people are doing. Remember, everyone, dying al kiddush Hashem, yil Hashem hilai, the machlokes about whether you have to just give up on Shabbos and die, right? That the first group of soldiers are killed on Shabbos, so they aren't willing to fight and be machal Shabbos, and Matisyahu has to come and be mechadesh ahalacha and say, no, pikuach nevesh is doche Shabbat, you're allowed to fight on Shabbat, because otherwise we'll never win this war. But the period that Daniel spends most of his time prophesying about, especially from Medan, is right, almost exclusively, but according to everybody, a good percentage of his prophecy is on this period, especially Perek Yud Aleph, right, which is all the Greek back and forth, including the period of the Chashmonaim. It's a time in which the messages of Daniel are important, and therefore these messages, Daniel writes them down, but they become real. Like, as his prophecies literally are fulfilled. And again, there are some prophecies in Tanakh where you're not sure if they were fulfilled. Daniel is the one prophecy where you're like, I know exactly when that happened, what happened, and it's there that he tells you that there are going to be good Jews and bad Jews, and those, some are going to go to Olam Haba, and some are not, and you are the model for the people who are going to be willing to dial Kiddush Hashem.
Wait, what's the message again supposed to be to the people?
That the way you survive this is to continue standing up for what is true, even if that means you risk your life. And sometimes God will save you, and sometimes He won't. But that's the right way to survive Galut.
Right.
Or not even Galut, or external, whatever, right? Whatever you call the period of the Ivanim, meaning living in Israel under foreign idolatrous control. And again, you look through the Gemara and you have cases like this, right? There's this very wild Gemara in Gitin Nun Zion of the 400 boys and girls who were taken captives to be prostitutes, and they commit suicide, they jump into the sea rather than give up their Olam Haba. Right, you have these Agarata that this continues to be. And the fact that Olam Haba, in many of these discussions, is what motivates them, right? The belief that there is something beyond, right? Which is, again, the theme of Daniel, that part of the Malach telling him is there is an Olam Haba, there is Tchias HaMesim, that even if you die now, there's something beyond, and that should motivate you to look beyond the vicissitudes of politics, right, and actually commit to eternal truth, because there is an eternity. Right, that message at the end of Daniel is just so central to this, and Ramadan just goes through this, and we talked about this a little bit in Parakeh, right? How through the medieval period, the Balei HaTosfot are endorsing, right, continue to endorse martyrdom and the like, and they keep looking to Hananiah, Mishael, V'Azariah. Ramadan says it could be that the reason you have this book that has to warn so much is because we know, historically, it bears itself out that the first period where the Jews were really, really, really tempted into assimilation was the Greeks. Right? I mean, even if you read the rest of Tanakh, they're not becoming not Jewish, they're becoming syncretists. Right? They're becoming syncretists. Right? They believe in Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. They just think Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is an idolatrous god, and they think they attach it to Asherah, but they don't become Ammoni or Moavi. The Greeks, suddenly the Jews are becoming Hellenized. They're adopting the culture. They're identifying with it. That's the first time. So Daniel, who is this representative of standing up for the culture, comes and says, no, 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 no. There is Olam Haba. There is truth. There is Mashiach. Admittedly, we've already gone through all these issues. I'm not going to go through it again. What does it mean? Is he predicting only the end of days, or the end of days in the Greek period? What is he doing? We've talked about this many, many times, because this is like fourth time, fifth time there's a prediction of the future in Daniel. It's also the Greek period that he talks about so much is the period in which the danger is so much not physical, it's so much spiritual. Right? So much spiritual, and that is actually the way that the Greeks try it. Right? They want them to assimilate and be full Greeks. Now again, Rav Meidan thinks that the primary interpretation of this book, as he said in every one, but is that he thinks that even Perek Yud Bet is also at some level really mostly talking about the Greek period. Right, like Perek Yud Aleph. Right, like Perek Yud Aleph is clearly the Greek period, and then Perek Yud Bet just picks up at that time.
Right, so what is he about
So one second. Well, we're going to talk about Tchias Amesim next week, but he still thinks that at least some of this surface level is talking about the Greek period, right? If not in addition to other things, but at least is talking primarily about the Greek period, where you have this machlokas. So again, those seem to be the themes that are coming up in this period. Again, these calculations, as we've seen. Just because, in addition to that, there's most of the Mefarshim assume these were also messianic and tried to figure out what it meant. Next week we'll come back to the Tchias HaMeisim point. But even before we get to the Tchias HaMeisim point, if nothing else, the reason that Daniel is the person who has to write about these things is because, right, this is the book that's going to take you through Galut, whether it's the Greek Galut or all the Galuyot. He becomes the Avtipus, and therefore he's the one who has to come and say there's Tchias HaMeisim, there's an end, there's eternity, there's truth, because of the challenges he's predicting. The Greeks, and then whatever continues after the Greeks. But that's really, right, that's how Daniel ends. What we'll talk about next week is specifically this point where there are those psukim that sound like they're not about the Greek period. They really do sound like this is the end of time. Right? I mean, it does. Right? It sounds like the end of time, and Tchias HaMeisim. That's how Chazal understood it. And we got to come back to that and understand what exactly is going on there. But I already hear the Hirschberg started, which I know we haven't had for the last few weeks, so I didn't have to worry about going 5 minutes over time, but now I do. So go.